Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody, on this Tuesday, the 16th day of April, 2024. Glad you are here. The sham trial of Donald Trump continues. Did you hear what happened with the jury pool yesterday? Speculation has, of course, run thick that on the island of Manhattan, how in the world are you going to find jurors who will give him a fair shake? To the credit of many of them, as they started to go through the jury pool, and they start again today, 8:30 our time, more jury selection, and this may take a while, because juror after juror after juror after juror was asked the first, it's like a flowchart, and I love flowcharts, box number one, can you treat the Donald Trump case fairly? Can you evaluate his, you know, guilt or lack of guilt with an objective, clear eye? And juror after juror after juror said, nope. And that's, you know what? If you're haters going to hate, and at least if they are, haters going to be honest and good for them. Prospective jurors who made it through the sort of, yeah, I think I can treat him somewhat objectively and fairly, they were then put through the 42 questions I told you about yesterday. Do you follow him on Truth Social? Are there certain podcasts that you've been consuming? You know, have you been to a MAGA rally? Stuff like, and it's more than 50 of the original 96 were excused immediately for admitting they could not be impartial. Others were excused due to other issues. There was a motion immediately for Judge Juan Mershon to recuse himself. He said, nope, said there's no basis for me to do that. My Trump-hating daughter, you know, having a family member who was railed against Trump. No, there's nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. He told the president, former president, that if you disrupt proceedings in any way, like he's going to jump up from his chair and start pontificating, that he'd be held in contempt and removed from the court. He is required to appear. If he fails to do so, a warrant will be issued for his arrest. Like, okay, well, what would keep him from attending the trial? Well, there is one thing, and this became a bit of a flashpoint yesterday. The trial is expected to last 8 weeks. About a month from now, in fact, a month from tomorrow, there is an event in Palm Beach, Florida. It is at a place called the Oxbridge Academy. And that is where his son, his giant son, it's where he's like 6'7", dude, where Barron Trump, freshly turned 18-year-old senior, Barron Trump, will graduate. Should Donald Trump be permitted to attend his son's graduation? Does he absolutely have to be there? There are a couple of ways they could provide some type of special dispensation here. They could take a day off in court. But you know what? Or they could just say, you don't really have to be here. Because does he really have to be there? Does he really? I mean, the wheels are going to turn. The arguments are going to be made. You know, does he really have to be there? And so at the moment, and there's word that this could change, because I have a feeling that this is a trial that is tanking in the public mind by the day. There are people who don't like Trump much at all who are saying this is wrong, what's happening here. But at the moment, that answer is no, which led me and some other folks, I think our talk show buddy Mike Gallagher is with me on this one, and that is that on the day on after court, now there's I think there are one or two days off in court per week. I mean, because he is going to be able to get out and do some campaigning. A lot of the campaigning will be in the lobby of the courthouse. But on, here, hang on, let's go to the calendar. May 17th is a Friday. After court lets out on Thursday, May 16th, President Trump should get in the big black SUV, go to the airport, get on a plane, and fly to Palm Beach for the graduation of his son. He should tell court authorities exactly where he will be at each juncture of this trip and say, come get me. And let's just see how that works out. If they arrest him on the tarmac at LaGuardia, he wins 40 states. So they have some decisions to make in Trump torment land. Speaking of people who are tormented, and again, I put my toe in the pool over there at Morning Joe, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, the Joe Scarborough Morning Coven on MSNBC, just to kind of see how they're handling things. And the answer at the moment is not well. All those swing states where Trump is ahead, all this polling and Axios, they had to hate this. This is a pretty fascinating question, because a lot of times they'll ask, do you like this guy or do you like this guy? Whom do you prefer? Whom do you want to be president? And those are all thoroughly good polling questions. They asked one that said, how do you feel about this guy's presidency? Do you tend to remember it fondly? Are you nostalgic about it? Do you think, were you happy during this presidency? And across multiple demographics, memories of the Trump presidency were better. What a wonderful question that is to ask, because it bypasses all the sideshow horse hockey. It bypasses all the mean tweets and the, you know, Trump behavioral excesses and the whatever irrelevant sideshows. It comes down to how your life was going, how the economy was doing. Did the world seem safer and more stable? Did we have something that looked like a border? And those answers are all better from the Trump years. How do you think we get to that wonderful video? It's more than a month old now, where they walk into a black barbershop in Queens or something and ask a bunch of young African-American men who are like 28, so they remember precisely two presidencies, this one and the last one. And they said, some of them said, you know, I don't even pay that much attention to the news every day, but all I remember is that when Trump was president, we had money. We had money. More of our own money. More of our own money, you know, because of better inflation, because of just a better economy, because of everything. So as, look, that doesn't mean that I'm sitting here in April guaranteeing a landslide or even guaranteeing a victory. So many miles to walk, so many things to happen, so many events on the ground, as they say, that could, you know, tilt the election one way or another. But if you gather a bunch of liberal voices, thoughts, commentators, thinkers, etc., I've got a little point counterpoint I want to share with you. Tale of two liberals, and you'll see a marked difference, but you'll just see a marked difference. So before I hop into that, or before I hop into anything else, 866-660-5759, 866-660-5759. Senator Cornyn joins us at 8:05. That's always fun. I need to. So obviously we got to talk about Israel, and obviously we'll talk about whether Ukraine aid will be part of that. Looks like Speaker Mike Johnson says no. We will talk to Senator Cornyn about Trump. Somebody asked me, has Cornyn like really officially endorsed Trump? Well, we'll ask him or give him the chance to do so when we talk to him at 8:05. And I also got to ask him about the tweet. Gotta ask him about the tweet. I don't think we talked to him since. I don't know that we have. We did. Did I ask him about it then? Okay, but I haven't talked to him since the settlement. Not since the settlement. And that, of course, was when Ken Paxton said that Texas needs two conservative senators. Ouch. Implying we got one, and it'd be nice if we had two. And a lot of people think Ken Paxton wants to be the other one in the 2026 primary, to and said so on Twitter, to which Cornyn replied, "Hard to run from prison, Ken." And that was weird. Did an intern grab his phone that day? Because that's a very almost Trumpian barb, you know, kind of a, it's like, what? That's very un-Cornyn-like. So we'll ask him about that. We had all kinds of things to talk about with Senator Cornyn at 8:05. At 8:35, one of the best analysts and, you know, folks overseeing the political scene in the business, our buddy Matt Makowiak. And a chat with Matt is always interesting. And this one particularly is because he just escaped from Israel. He was due to come back. He was over there. Was it just coincidence? I don't know. Going to Israel is always a good idea. Middle of a war is dicey. But he was over there. And over there during the Iranian drone attacks, like, he looked up in the sky and they're like, you know, Iron Dome doing its thing. It's like, wow. And he was due to come back a couple of days ago, but couldn't because the airport was shut down. But then they opened it, and Matt is back on American soil and will join us at 8:35. Of course, our talk show buddy Mike Gallagher at 7:35, always all kinds of things to talk about with him. In the meantime, as we approach a day filled with topics, Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of this new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and for your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America, where our Constitution is honored, our schools and public spaces are safe, our elections are reliable, our borders work, where we protect the unborn, and we fight for the meaning and the intent of the two genders you created, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything, and we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. All right. As an intro to this little point counterpoint, tale of two liberals, it is always a good idea, as you walk through life, looking at things politically through your point of view, whatever it may be, one of the smartest things you can ever do is try to figure out what, or just understand that there are people who disagree with you. I deal with, address, assess, absorb, converse with, you know, liberalism every day. I obviously vociferously disagree with it, but I understand it. I know where people are coming from. I disagree with it, but I acknowledge that that's a mindset that exists. And because to not do so just makes you weird. It's like, what are those? Who are those creatures? Well, they vote. So you need to kind of assess what makes them tick. Because when you understand people, it's better to fight back against an argument that you have at least sought to understand. So where am I going with this? From the perspective of liberalism, just the constant example of Bill Maher, who I think, are we in the midst of converting him? he laments that everybody says I'm a conservative now because I think that the woke mind virus is BS. Everybody thinks I'm conservative now because I acknowledge that some people vote for Trump because they feel like there's craziness going on in our schools. But truth is, Bill Maher is no less liberal than he's ever been, I don't believe. He just has a brain stem and eyes and ears and understands that there are people out there who will vote differently. So in his very, 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 very good podcast called Club Random, this particular episode, taped just a couple of days ago, was with Katie Couric. And they were talking about why the Trump surge of the moment.
They saw Trump killing it with the crowd. Then you come to a panel of six people who all just do nothing but dump on him and call him a liar. And America goes, oh, didn't you just see that we like him?
He's killing it. He's not a stand-up comedian.
No, but popularity, it doesn't matter. He The people loved him and what he was saying. Not to defend Trump, but to defend the people who still vote for him, because what they see on the other side to them is even more dangerous, because it's very closer to home. My kid is coming home from school and he thinks he's a racist. He's five. What have you been telling him? Those kind of things are what they say. That's why I'm voting for Trump.
Exactly. And did you hear Katie Couric? He's killing it. He's not a stand-up comedian. No, ma'am. But killing it in terms of connecting with audiences who are gathering to hear him and gravitating toward his message. Now, compare and contrast Joe Scarborough about an hour ago.
Donald Trump keeps talking about how America sucks. And he, before he got elected, America sucked. And then he got elected, suddenly America was great. Then he lost, and now America sucks again. You're voting for a guy like that?
Yes. Yes, of course. Because it's not that America sucks, it's that the leadership does. Is that the country is being taken in horrible, horrible directions by people with horrible, horrible ideas. Joe?
You live in the most powerful, greatest country on the face of the earth? And you're voting for a guy that tells you every day that America sucks?
Once again, it's not that the country is problematic. It's the people running it at the moment. We're going to change that.
What's wrong with you? Who raised you?
What?
What history did you read?
That's it.
Like, where are you?
Mike Barnicle riding shotgun.
From? Because you may claim to be from where I'm from, but you were not raised by the same teachers I was raised by.
You got that right. So what you hear there, and the reason I offer you this juxtaposition, is here's Joe, who can't even remotely imagine that somebody could feel differently than he does. That is just an intellectual disconnect. And it is widespread. All right. 724, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. Who's interfering with Dusty Springfield? All together now. Was the son of a preacher. Dusty Springfield would have been 85 today, passed away back in 99. Love me some Dusty Springfield. So let us hop into the world of news with Nikki Whaley and then come back and see what Mike Gallagher has for us. All kinds of things in advance of his own show, which starts at 10 as soon as we are done. Again, Senator John Cornyn, 8:05. Analyst Matt Mikowiak, 8:35. You anytime at 866-660-5759. Grab a line, 7:30. Here's Nikki.
She wore blue velvet.
It is Bobby Vinton's birthday, Little Blue Velvet, 1963.
Was the night.
Boom, boom, boom. Bobby Vinton, born 89 years ago, Mike, alive or no?
I hope he's alive.
He absolutely is. Well. He absolutely Good. Is. Absolutely.
Good.
Blue Velvet also. The I think the first David Lynch movie I ever saw with Kyle MacLachlan and Laura Dern and Dennis Hopper, very creepy. You ever see Blue Velvet, the movie?
Ooh. Nope, ooh, never saw it.
Very good. All right, so, hey.
I did get in some trouble yesterday. I almost gave away the ending of Civil War on my show. You wouldn't let me. And then people were mad.
Not in my
and
house.
And then people were mad at you for not letting me give away the ending.
Okay,
because they're like, oh, Mark's all Mr. Hollywood, and he's enamored
suspense.
With all these.
I love it. I'd rather let people find out on their own. Let the record show that Mike hated Civil War, found it just repellent.
I read a review last night in the New York Post. Johnny Olinsky wrote a review. One star, said it's an absolute a bomb. It's a wasted movie.
You know what's weird? And I think that a lot of your distaste was that it is a not so skillfully couched Trump violence fantasy, kind of like the takeoff of the Shakespearean tragedy, where he is actually shown being assassinated in a park in an outdoor play in New York. Justin Chang, I think, reviews for the LA Times, and his stuff appears at the end of Fresh Air, like one of the good things NPR does. And boy, NPR in the news lately, we may talk about that. Anyway, he said, so here's a lib network and a lib guy. didn't love it either. Said it just all kind of lays there, and it tries to be self-important and tries to advance what it thinks is a compelling storyline, and just doesn't. But anyway,
it's not even a good storyline. I mean, you don't even know really who the good guys are, who the bad guys are. There's gratuitous violence. At one point, there's a Southerner that executes somebody for being from China, and so that's a big tell. It's got all of these nods to MAGA and Trump, and they're playing a game where they're pretending that the president depicted in the movie isn't Trumpian. Right. And of course he is. He's in his third term. He wouldn't leave office.
And yet you say it's vague as to who the bad guys are. It sounds like the bad guys are us.
Who's us?
Our side.
Yeah, but you don't know what side, who anybody is on in the movie, really.
Okay,
I mean, there's
gotcha.
This weird alliance of Texas and Florida, or no, Texas
and California.
And California,
right.
But Florida is on the other side.
Yeah.
And so it's a, I mean, the direct, it's just a mess. It's a mess, but it really, I am very angry about the Trump violence aspect of this. This is a big joke to these people. Trump's trial this week is a big joke. Stephen Colbert last night joking about, everybody hush here in this audience. I need you on that jury pool. The Daily Beast writing an article today. Oh, this judge is not playing around. He is going to put the hammer down. And Trump, I mean, they're going to convict him, Mark. And I keep warning the audience, it's going to happen. There is virtually no way. He even said it yesterday. Trump came out of the courtroom saying, this judge is not going to let me escape this sham. And those were Trump's words.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good way to put it because the judge isn't. Did you see he's not even going to let him go to his son Barron's high school graduation?
And I think you joined me in the chorus of voices that says, Mr. President, the graduation's on a Friday. When court is over on a Thursday, you feel free to inform them that I'm getting in my SUV, I am going to LaGuardia, I am getting on a plane, and I'm going to my son's graduation. You try to stop me.
Well, he promised him he'll arrest him. He already said
yep.
yesterday, you cannot miss this proceeding.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens then?
He wins 40 states.
I tend to agree with you, I hope. I mean, if people aren't waking up and seeing this travesty by now, Jonathan Turley has been splendid on this, talking about reviving a misdemeanor, turning it into a felony mm-hmm. through this torturous process that Alvin Bragg came up with to say, and again, once more, who's the victim here? Just like there was no victim with the $500 million he was ordered to pay for the banks.
Yep.
And who's the victim in this case?
There isn't one.
Stormy Daniels has insisted her whole life that she never even had an affair with the guy.
Yep.
In writing, under oath, I've never had an affair, never had an affair. So who's victimized here? What, he falsified business records to pay hush money to the porn star. Who's the victim? I mean, and I'm not saying that rhetorically.
No, and it becomes a felony. It becomes a felony when the misdemeanors were conducted in the furtherance of some other, campaign finance related crime. Okay, what is that crime?
What's the crime?
What is the thing, the nefarious thing that he was seeking to do?
I had a guy call the show yesterday toward the end of the show. I got into a knockdown drag out, and it was just beautiful that his name was Francis.
Yes.
From Virginia.
Lighten up, Francis.
I could not believe his name was Francis. And he claimed to be a pastor, and he kept attacking Trump, saying, you go ahead and vote for a guy who cheated on his wife with a porn star, That's what he kept repeating. And I said to him, well, you think that's a crime, or do you think that's between him and his wife? Well, you go, and that was what he kept continually insisting over and over again. And he's just delighted that Trump is in this legal peril right
mm-hmm.
now. And I said to him, you're not going to maybe be so smug the morning of November the 6th. Gosh, Mark, I mean, this is so epic to watch what is happening. And I am blessed, and you're blessed, to be in front of a microphone. And we're going to kind of get through all this together with our audience. And speaking of what we do for a living, I neglected because I wasn't feeling too hot yesterday with the jet lag. Finally got a great night's sleep last night.
Back.
My first night. I am back. I'm still congested. I wonder if congestion is a symptom of jet lag. You think?
Well, you're in that sealed tube filled with Lord knows what kind of petri dish of humanity that you were on that plane with, so I don't know.
And I was back in the back of the plane in the middle seat.
No, I don't believe that. Mike, don't fly that way.
I will admit, Delta's got a pretty good international first class. Those pods are pretty cool. Although it is
the
weird.
Pod? What are you, in suspended animation?
Yeah, well, they have giant pods in first class, and when you recline, it turns into like a fly flat bed. Weird is when it goes into the bed mode.
Here I am,
listen to me complaining about first class on a trip to Tokyo.
Vintage bike.
Your feet are very narrow. It goes into like a little tube, and I can't really move around all that much.
Is it foot claustrophobia?
There's foot claustrophobia. You can't like thrash your feet around a little bit. But it's pretty cool. I got a big. Yeah, I mean, but anyway, I had this awful jet lag coming back Friday night. I didn't sleep Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Finally got a good night's sleep last night, but still feel a little congested, but raring and ready to go. And I forgot to congratulate you on making the Talkers Magazine Heavy 100 list.
Thank you very
again,
much.
Again, congratulations. Nice. You know, this is a highly contested list because there's a lot of good people who aren't on the list. You think about it. There are hundreds of talk show hosts in America. Mm-hmm. It's not like there's 30 of us. And so every year, Talkers Magazine, which is considered the Bible of the talk radio industry, publishes this list. And I remember the first year I got on it, I was doing afternoons at WGY in Albany, New York. I called Denise. I said, I can't believe it. I made the Heavy 100 list. And I've been on it ever since. And it's so fun to see the list come out and then look at my friends and see who's on there, who's not.
Yep.
I mean, I've got some friends.
It's very high school.
It's like Mean Girls. It's right out of Mean Girls.
What's he doing out there? Who's ahead of me?
Yeah.
And who's ahead of my friends? Because I'm filled with gratitude, but I have an enormous gripe with folks. You're of course in the top 10 because look at you.
I wasn't last year. I'm back in the top 10.
Well, I have a huge gripe of about at least half of who is 3 through 9.
But it's okay. But listen, to be in the top 10 is cool. To be on the list is cool. I admit I was crushed last year when I went from like 10th to 11th. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, it's like when I wrote my book, I prayed to God, please let me be at the bottom of the New York Times bestseller list 1 week. Mm-hmm. You know what? I was at the bottom of the New York Times bestseller list 1 week. I was number 27. God gave me granted my prayer
week. With every book, you could write a book called The History of Pocket Lint, and it would be Mike Gallagher, New York Times bestselling author.
Bestselling author. There I could call go. Myself a New York Times bestselling
That's
author.
Right.
Barely. I mean, we're on the Heavy 100 list.
Hey.
Kind of barely. I'm number 10, but that's all right. I'll take 10, top
Absolutely.
10. If you say top 10, you're inferring, well, maybe he's second or third, or maybe he's fourth. I mean, so I'll just keep it quiet that I'm actually 10th on the top 10 list. But anyway, it's kind of fun and a nice little achievement for you, my friend, and for yours
Thank
truly.
You.
And because we got a year ahead of us. This is going to be a wild. I mean, we're looking around at the cities in New York. It happened in Tampa yesterday. They blocked
the
traffic here in Tampa, too.
What are these people thinking? This is like the environmentalists who glue themselves to the Mona Lisa or try to do that. All it does is make people hate you more. Isn't the idea of protests to have people think well of you, think that you have a point, and gravitate toward you? And yet here are people blocking access to airports in Chicago, San Francisco, blocking bridges. I mean, it shows that there's no thoughtful protest instinct to this. These are just bad people doing bad things, venting rage.
Senator Tom Cotton said, and I'm a little nervous about his message.
Throw him
but
off.
He said, "Hey, take matters in your own hands."
Yeah.
I mean, really, what do you do if you're in the car with Lisa and Ethan?
Yeah.
And you're going over 6:35.
Late for a flight
For a flight, or you're going to go to a funeral or something serious, and they're blocking traffic.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the wild part: none of them apparently are getting arrested, except here in Florida.
Have you seen the video of people being just dragged out of intersections? Thank you, Governor DeSantis. That's how you do it.
That's how it's done. They don't do that in Chicago. They're not doing that in New York. They're not doing that anywhere else.
No.
They're not doing it in Austin. But in Florida, hey, you go to jail. How is that not a crime?
Of course it's a crime. Of course it's a crime. We're in post-consequences America. You can shoplift now. There's all kinds of things you can do because we are in post-consequences America, at least in some blue cities and some blue states. And this is particularly sensitive because those people being dragged off of bridges and stuck into paddy wagons, if we ever get the nerve to do it, they're Biden voters or potential Biden voters. And you take that raid, you take a look at what's going on the Golden Gate Bridge, you take a look at what's going on, you know, on the way to Chicago O'Hare. Speaking of Chicago, what kind of a shindig do you think we're going to have with that Democrat convention in August? Oh, my, the rioting.
Yeah, I'm not going near that. I've been to a lot of conventions in my career. I'm going to be covering the Milwaukee convention. I'll be in Milwaukee for the GOP. I'll be there.
Just three months away. It'll be here before we know it.
We'll be broadcasting from there through the whole process. And Newt Gingrich, incidentally, had a great message about these death to America, death to Israel protests that have broken out in Chicago, in Dearborn, Michigan. He said, try them for treason. How's that not treason? If you walk around and your position publicly is death to America, is treason not a thing anymore?
I think you have to do something. I think
America?
I think treason is an act and not just a really repellent message.
It's not a threat?
No, that's not a threat. If somebody says death to America and then goes off and forms a cabal of people designed to hurt or kill somebody, then you got something.
Well, we'll see. And back to Trump's trial, by the way. Just got a text from on the MyPillow text line, which you know I'm glued to. I love the instant feedback. I love the mini focus group. When you text me at 800-655-MIKE, it's always fun when you text me during my M&M experience with Mark because it gives me a good conversation starter, because here's a good one from Dallas. Mm-hmm. Mike and Mark, I'm not nearly as optimistic about the outcome of Trump's trial as you guys seem to be. I predict he will be found guilty and then taken out in handcuffs and gone to jail. Then the DNC will challenge his ability to run for president, and a federal judge will rule that he is ineligible, SCOTUS will not take the case. Therefore, the lower court ruling stands. Then we're tortured with four more years of Biden's destruction. That's absolutely false. That cannot happen.
It can't. You can totally run. People have run from Lyndon LaRouche. Ran for president from jail.
Don't get that though, Mark. Yeah. They think they are under the misconception that if you're convicted of a crime, you can't run for president. Not true.
He can't vote for himself.
Right. But he can run. He can run. And like you said, maybe 40 states. Yeah. I mean, if they convict this guy, be careful what you wish for. But on the other hand, doesn't your heart just sink at the idea of him being led off to jail?
This is my country. I love my country. I want my country to do good and right things. And I know that there are people I support will get in legal trouble. As life plays out. But it needs to be fair. It needs to be just. And this is neither of those. So here we are. It's so wrong.
And I saw one of the articles referred to it as the trial of the century. In many ways, it is. We've never seen this before, Mark. We've never seen a president face criminal charges.
Truly unprecedented. Yeah.
But I saw you shrug when I said that. And I find that interesting because you know what's interesting? In our world, we realize what a scam it is. But to them, this is one of the biggest things that's ever happened in the history of America.
Yeah, I think it's the trial of the century to them. To me, it's just a sad, tired example of the weaponization and corruption of our system.
But
here we are. Right. Here we are, man.
Here we are. We are here. We're going to get through it together. All right, Mr. Top 100.
Thanks, Mr. Top 10. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. See why he deserves it. Mike Gallagher Show, as soon as we're done at 10, right here on 660 AM.
In the heart of Dixie in Alabama.
So since we kind of got to bounce out of this hour and into the next, might as well bounce with the great Grady Martin, 1950, the Birmingham Bounce. As he bounces, I get time to bounce to the phones for 60 seconds. We're a little Elm. Steve, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Good, Mark. How are you?
Hey, good.
Hey, question for you. As I heard your discussion about Bill Maher, and you have me like for 45 minutes every morning. When we talk about conservative versus liberal, and I get that, I think those labels exclude the unfortunate squishy middle, which is how Trump gets reelected. And I wonder if we should start using labels of rational versus irrational, because I've heard you debate people about, are you truly a conservative?
Right.
As opposed to, are you just rational? Are you, because you know, Trump really isn't a true conservative, although he puts in conservative policies and he's a rational.
Well, it's policies that make you conservative. There's a populism to it. He's not Reagan. He's not William F. Buckley. You're right. But I think that I think it's already happening that as that there are people who are going to vote for him who may not be that pro-life or may not be that much in favor of strong borders or lower taxes, but they want crime punished, and they want to have borders, and they want to have an economy that was better, because those things are, to use your very skilled term, those things are rational. All right, man, thank you very, very much. 866-660-5759, Senator John Cornyn, coming up next.
We don't have the moon or even the star, but here's that guitar going A to the bar.